Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The holiest week for Christians is well underway. Good Friday kicks off Easter weekend. This time last year, services were canceled. Churches closed. But doors were opened to much uncertainty. Today, Good Friday saw another deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol, a somber bookend from last year's Holy Week. But the last 12 months have given us much time to reflect on how we and our world has changed. Well, joining me to look at this from several perspectives are Pastor Vita McCoy of the Judah Christian Center in Prince George's County and political analyst Dr. Sharice Nelson. We invite you to join us and take a Good Friday pause to share your thoughts about your personal evolution and changes over the past 365 days. Lines are open. Join the conversation. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And we invite you to give me a tweet at HFisher, WHUR, or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Pastor Vita, thanks for joining the conversation.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Dr. Nelson, thank you for giving us a call and joining the conversation.
I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. So let's kind of, you know, start with, my goodness, you know, where we are. 365 days ago, you know, another, you know, Good Friday, you know, Pastor Vita. And even for those who do not celebrate, it catches us looking back and just wondering, what on earth is going on with the world? And sometimes we turn inward. From your perspective, how have you and your world evolved over the past 12 months, Good Friday to Good Friday?
Well, you are absolutely right. I think that today, with what happened at the Capitol, just came as a reminder of how unpredictable and uncertain life can be. And that's what this past 12 months have taught us. And as I've had to adjust and evolve and to grow, lean into my discomfort and learn as a pastor, as a school leader, an instructional leader, as a community leader, that is what the cross represents for each of us who look to our faith for strength. And so that is how I have basically had to fall into this. And I say fall into it because faith allows you to fall forward and backwards in ways where there is no solid ground, there is no footing, and God has brought us through. As our African American national anthem tells us, you know, stony the road we trod, it has been a stony road indeed, and faith has allowed us to see it through.
You know, Dr. Nelson, one of the things that, you know, just fascinates me when we look at, you know, the past, you know, 12 months, you know, when, you know, Good Friday is a day that has so much meaning for so many people in so many different ways. You know, for some people, it's like, I'm not going to work today. It's Good Friday. You know, I'm off. It's going to be warm. It's not today. But, you know, it's going to be warm. Looking forward to, you know, Easter weekend and just kind of, you know, if I may, they're just chilling until, you know, Sunday. But, you know, we had this attack on the U.S. Capitol today. Politics remain in a state of upheaval. From your perspective, I'm sure that you've had to take some time to pause over the past 12 months. And if so, what was that pause like for you?
So I want people to kind of remember that the country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, right? The idea that every man is deserving of a particular set of civil or individual rights is a reflection to the understanding that God made each of us uniquely, and that for those of us who call Jesus our Savior, that He intercedes for us in this quest. And so for me, the last 12 months have literally been a whirlwind. My son is born on March 28th, and the year that he was born in 2013, he was born the Thursday, right? He was born the Thursday before Good Friday because Easter was on Sunday. And so this time of year for me is always a reflective moment. It's always a reflective moment because I became a mother around this time, and every 4 years, it's a reflection of his birthday. So it's that reminder. It's the reminder that in my motherhood, I decided to substitute my happiness for my son's happiness, right? The same way that Christ substituted himself for the sins that we committed, for the fact that we knew we were going to mess up, right? It's somewhere in the Old Testament where it says brand new mercies we get to see, right? Because of this level of sacrifice. And so for me, it's been about these last 12 months. It has been about what has been the sacrifice, and who is paying these sacrifices, and how do we get to a place where we become content, right? How do we become content, although all the things pressed aside me? It speaks about this in 2 Corinthians, right? So how do we get content? And so what I've really been concentrated on is how do I use my classroom as a professor as the pulpit, right? How do I teach students about the political process that in many ways gets them to understand their own individual rights as a way, and oftentimes to introduce them to Christ or lead them back to Christ?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is our Good Friday conversation. We're taking a pause today. We're inviting you to share your thoughts about your own personal evolution, the changes that you have made or perhaps have been made for you since last Good Friday, and how you deal with that pause. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As always, we're going to be taking as many phone calls as possible, even up until 8 o'clock, so certainly give us, you know, a call. Pastor Vita, it's one thing to be a spiritual leader, to know that you are responsible for your flock in person or virtually. But I want to talk about you as the woman, as the human being, the person who may be given to an occasional flawed thoughts in the midst of this storm we have called the pandemic. How have you dealt with that? What was that like?
Sure, absolutely. I think that, you know, in the Bible, it talks about that we must have the faith, childlike faith. But I also say you have to have age-appropriate faith. And so in the pandemic, I came to God as a child. I allowed myself to be vulnerable. I allowed myself to be uncertain, to have fear, to pour my heart out to the Lord in prayer, in meditation. But I also had to have age-appropriate faith and realize that I am, you know, I've been through some things before, and I've seen God work before, and He can work again, and to trust God. And I relied heavily on my family. I used this time to set some very clear and intentional goals for my family. Yes, I'm responsible for a whole lot of people, socially, civilly, spiritually, but I had to, because these times come, I believe, to also show you areas where you may be overreaching, overstepping, and forgetting. So I relied on my family and my circle of friends, and it was indeed the testimony that Paul said, in all situations and circumstances of life, you can be content, and you are definitely fully supplied. You are fully supplied with what God, with what you need. And so that's how I made it.
But Pastor Vita, let me get into your business a little bit, because you said something that I found interesting. Obviously, there was a point when you realized that you were overreaching. What was that? Did you get, as the person responsible for so many people, did you get pushback from them? What were those conversations like? What were those aha moments?
Because when you realize that what you're left with is all you have, you realize that what you're left okay. with is all you need. Come on here.
is that the lemons to lemonade conversation?
I'm telling you, right? Because, and I put it this way, I said God took us from the four walls of the church to send us to the four corners of the earth. He took us from pulpit to platform. And I love what my sister said about using her classroom, her lecture, a podium as a platform to speak into the lives of others, because I do the same thing. As a matter of fact, I do a talk to new teachers coming on, and I remind them that they are the equalizers. They are the ones that help to level the playing field for these children as we educate them. Also, God took us from the nuances of church so that we could meet the needs of a nation. Hmm. And so absolutely, a lot of the things that we stand on, that we lean on, that we count on were removed in the pandemic. But as I said, when you realize that what you have left is all you have, you realize that what's left is all you need.
202-319-7810. This is our Good Friday conversation. No matter how you celebrate or observe it, we want to hear from you. We want to hear about how you've reflected between last Good Friday and today's Good Friday. Is it different for you since the past 365 days? Do you look at things differently? Let me go to Mel. Mel, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Mel. What's on your mind?
You're very welcome. You know, I think that over the course of the last year, I'm going to say for me, I've just said this. I do hunger relief. I moved here to accept a position, you know, with the Maryland Food Bank.
Oh, yeah.
And it is nonstop. We are so busy. But I come from a land of pandemics and hurricanes and storms. I've been through Hurricane Katrina as a first responder worker for food services, you know, doing hunger relief. I've been through Hurricane Harvey doing the same thing. And what I found is that when people have to be strong, they're strong. You know, they pull it from the gut. They do what they have to do. But what I do know for sure is that people that are rooted in faith are stronger.
Yeah.
And so you have to lay on everything that you have and give it to God and know that, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to make it. And you have to circle yourself with people who also believe that we can make it.
Yeah.
You can't be around a whole bunch of people that are doubting the word and not knowing how we're going to make it. And, you know, even in the midst of challenges of losing life, you still have to know that there is a reason that they are going on to glory and that we're going to make it. And we have to be the face for those who don't believe to help them stand.
Yeah. And I think people really, you know, and particularly in your case, Mel, people really forget about just how important the kind of work that you're doing. You know, the Maryland Food Bank, big, beautiful, important building, probably more relevant over the past 12 to 15 months than ever before, just like the Capital Area Food Bank as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't think that anyone would argue that, you know, the Mels of the world right now are doing, you know, God's work for those who may not have, you know, the strength to, you know, to carry on in some way. So, you know, certainly, Mel, thank you so much for sharing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sharon, calling from Charles County. Thanks for calling, Sharon. What's on your mind?
Well, during this pandemic, God revealed to me that I was out of fellowship. And in order to get myself back in order, I had to repent, of course, and just surrender my life, rededicate it, and just surrender my life unto Him. And since I've done that, I've joy has come, and I'm reading his word more than ever, getting closer to God, because he has all the answers. All of this, God knows all about it. But scripture tells us that he sent his word to heal us. And if we would just lean on him and trust in him, we're going to come through this, all of this. This isn't the first time something has enslaved the Christian man. But God was there. He said he never leave us nor forsake us. He be with us until the end of the world.
Well, Deborah, thank you so much for sharing with us, and I appreciate your thoughts as well. We are talking about reflecting on Good Friday. It's been a year since the last Good Friday. It was rough then. Bad news today. How have you changed? How have you evolved? How do you reflect? What are you thinking about? How are you doing that self-care as we move through this really important weekend for those of faith and even for those not? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. Listen, lines are still open. Give us a call, 319-7810. That's 202. 319-7810. I want to hear from you. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are having a different kind of program. We are asking you to take a Good Friday pause to share your thoughts about your personal evolution, changes that you have made over the past 365 days. This is the holiest week in Christianity. Not everybody is Christian. Not everyone is a person of faith. But we want to hear from everybody. As you look back, Good Friday to Good Friday, do you see things differently? Do you see the world differently? Do you see yourself differently, your community? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, my guests are Pastor Vita McCoy of the Judah Christian Center in Prince George's County and political analyst Dr. Sharice Nelson. Let me go back to the phone lines. Deborah, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to say that listening to your comment about people who said that, oh, it's Good Friday, I'm not going to go to work, and then there are others who pause and think about what's going on. I think that everybody, young and old, I drive Uber, I talk to people, and everybody has took a pause behind the same line and said, when is this going to end? Mm-hmm. Even before they took the thought that I'm not going to do anything this weekend. It's Easter,
right? Yeah, and no, go ahead,
this
Deborah.
What's going on last year? We should be thinking about 2019, not 2020.
Why do you say that?
We were going through this.
Why do you say that? Why 2019?
Because in 2020, that's when we first heard about COVID, in March of 2020.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. 2019 is the year that was the good year, for lack of a better phrase.
Oh, I see. Well, is that what you are reflecting on right now, Deborah, on that last Good Friday?
No. Before you made that statement, I had already thought of what I was saying about you saying that everybody was saying, oh, it's Good Friday, I'm not going to go to work. So that thought came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as 2019, it was a good year for me, and I'm hoping that everything comes and goes back the same way. I am looking forward to it all ending.
Yes, I think we all are. And to be clear, I said, you know, some people, at least, you know, in my own personal orbit, as long as I was aware of Good Friday, you know, some people went to Good Friday services. Some people just took the day off. And, you know, some people did sit and reflect. Some people didn't think about it because not everybody is Christian. And not everyone is of faith. I always worked. I was not one to take off on Good Friday, but always looked forward to the Easter weekend and the family, the friends, right. You know, the church service, that a time of renewal. Yeah, all of that.
I just finished playing and dinner with my mom.
Hey, send me a plate. Can I get a plate?
Yeah, sure you can. More than welcome.
Deborah, thank you so much for your phone call. You know, Dr. Nelson, you know, for you, you know, on this Good Friday and, you know, this weekend, what kind of things are going through your mind, that mental, emotional, you know, self-care, when you try to, if you can, push back the dark and the dirt of today?
Well, for me, this Good Friday is truly a Good Friday. And every Good Friday is a Good Friday because it's only good because we know what happens on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Right? For the Christian, this is only a good day because we know that on Sunday he rises and that he then conquers death. And so for me, I've been able to conquer some things in 2020. I became a full-time professor at Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I was able to buy a home there. I'm on an acre of land. All of my family are vaccinated, and so I am able to host a dinner with my parents and my son and my niece and my sister. And so for me, this Good Friday has a special meaning because it's the first one in my new home. I have a serious menu. I posted on Facebook a couple of days ago, along with pictures of the decoration of that dining room. So for me, it's about the fact that remembering what we lost in 2020, because in 2020, we did not have an Easter meal together. We were not together. And so it's remembering the fact that we have been renewed in some ways. Yes, it may not be like we would like it. As Pastor has already referred to, it's learning to be content right where God has us, right? And I think that's the biggest wake-up call, is that, you know, we have become accustomed to the Christian, have become accustomed to coming to church to worship in a corporate way. And we've had to learn how to meditate, how to worship, how to build up our own spirit. And that is what God is really calling us to do, I think, in these moments, is reflect on the fact that this journey is a personal one, that it's a personal one, and that because it's a personal one, that we must get into our own level of connection, regardless of your spiritual practice.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are taking a Good Friday pause, asking you to share your thoughts about reflecting your personal evolution and how you may have changed or the changes you have made over the past 365 days, Good Friday to Good Friday. Janet, calling from Maryland. Hey, Janet, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I am a healthcare professional, mm-hmm. and I wanted to reflect about the things that I noticed. Over the past 4 years, we've gone through a lot as a country, and there's times where people of faith and people not of faith reflect on coming together, loving thy brother, loving thy neighbor, and I think when you pray for those things, you get the opportunity in which you are supposed to act upon what you pray for. And so the last 4 years have given us ample opportunity, and the last year specifically with the pandemic and being apart from everyone showed you this is the time where you're supposed to act, and I think we failed. I think we're getting better, but I think we failed. And so now that you can't go to the movies with your friends, you can't do this, you can't go over to cookouts, I think they should really reflect about how important it was when they had it and took it for granted. And now that you don't, now that you can't be in the hospital with your loved one, listen, take notice of the people that you have around you and love them. That tomorrow is not promised to anybody.
Janet, I have a question for you, but you know, I want to get into your business a little bit. You said you are a healthcare worker. Specifically, what do you do?
I am an emergency room nurse.
I was thinking that you were, you know, in the thick of it, in the heat of it.
What, I am.
Yeah. You know, first of all, you know, dust off the cape. You know, that you've been wearing since February. And, you know, because I'm sure that you and so many of your professional colleagues are wearing those capes, even if you really can't see them, we know that they're there. And so, you know, I certainly salute you. But being in the thick of it from, you know, seeing the loss of life that we've had over the past 12 to, you know, 15 months, but also observing the yeoman's effort that your colleagues have made. What have you learned about yourself?
What have I learned about myself? I think that as a healthcare professional, I can really relate to the reason why I became a nurse. I already knew this, but it renewed it because I've been a nurse for over 20 years. And, you know, things fade. As you said, it got bullet holes and stains and stuff on it. And you know, yeah. It becomes just an everyday routine. But the actual being there for that patient when their family cannot be there, it renewed that in me and why I am there.
Mm-hmm.
As they hold my hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Janet, you know, thank you for your career choice, for your humanity. And you're caring. We really salute you and the people that you work with. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you so much as I start my shift.
There you go. There you go.
Have a good day.
You too. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. See, Pastor Vita, you know, and I think that's at the heart of this conversation about when you turn your personal lens inside and look at how you've changed, on one hand, how you've been forced to change, but on the other hand, how you've taken a moment to say, I must change this thing, or I must change these things about myself in order to get through the past 365 days. Have you had, you know, those moments, and what was it like, if so?
Absolutely. You know, we look at transformational change as the part that must change or die, right? The part that must change or die, and it cannot change. The chaos within causes the transformation, you know, on the exterior. And so it's like being pregnant and not expecting your belly to grow.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that, but.
Right. But
help me with that one.
not pay child support. How about that? So
my goodness.
We look at the last 365 days and we say that it has been transformational change on every front, right? Social, political, racial. I mean, we were just digesting that we were going to have to relive the trauma of the assault inflicted upon the person of Mr. George Floyd with the trial and seeing that coverage when this outburst happened at the nation's capital. Once again, less than 2 months after the insurrection on January the 6th. So there are things that are happening on the inside that are pushing out and crawling up and exposing their little heads, and we have to deal with that. We must change or become obsolete. You know, change or die, change or fall away. And so from a spiritual leader and as one who believes in the institutional church, that has really been where I have probably evolved and transformed the most, with even some of our own parishioners, you know, not wanting to do the virtual or taking this time to, you know, observe an extended hiatus, you know, and it's just like, what are we going to do? How are we going to show up for this moment that is now upon us? Because we have no choice. It is our reality and we must change. And so that's what the last 365 days have meant to me and what they have brought about in my life. Harold, I think one of the biggest things that I've been saying to my students, you know, when they're asking me to explain what's happening right on the inside, as Pastor has alluded, it's just, you know, plainly put, epistemological ignorance. And epistemology just basically means how you learned who you were. And unfortunately, our history has not told the truth about who people were. You know, we made antagonists out of protagonists and protagonists out of antagonists, right? And so what we are really dealing with right now is a reckoning of that epistemological ignorance, of the idea that we have lied about how this nation was formed. And because of that, that is why you see such a pushback on the institution, because they were taught, many people were taught that the institution was for them and them alone. Mm-hmm. And now that they have to share, right, now they have to share, it's causing a ripple effect, and not just in our politics, but in our church houses. Because remember, as I said at the very beginning of this, right, that we were founded on these Judeo-Christian principles. And so if I say now you have to share, right, then that makes me then reposition how I see things. Remember, some of the same people who are upset right now were some of the same group of people 4 years ago telling us that the Bible was the reason as to why that we need to listen to Donald Trump, and that we need to respect him, and that we need to respect his office. Some of the same people now are on the opposite side of that argument. Why is that the case? Because we've learned who we were incorrectly, and that God and truth will always shine. The God is light. And so light has been brought upon this country in our real situation about how we were founded and what conflicts those really create and how they creep out of us. Sometimes it's anger, sadness. It just comes out in all these different ways.
You know, one of the things, and I think for me personally, something that has been more, you know, foundational, and one of our, you know, callers talked about what we've been forced into over the past 12 months. You know, we didn't have a choice. We had to sit down.
Yep.
We had to sit still. And we had to be quiet. And I think from last Good Friday to this Good Friday, I will tell you that I have been forced, and I don't know if it sounds right, but I have been, maybe not forced, I have been put in a position where I have cared about more people than at any other time in my life. And the reason is because I've been forced to pay attention to people that I normally would not pay attention to, because I had to slow down. And I'm not talking about being, you know, rude or dismissive. I'm talking about, and I've said this on this program before, that there are neighbors in my community that pre-COVID, I may have only said a few words to during the course of the year, and they usually sounded something like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, as I rushed out to the grocery store, to shopping, to work, to here, to there, rushed in, rushed out. But when we were forced to stay at home, it meant that I was given an opportunity to listen to them, to observe them, and to discover that what I thought about them was actually true, that they were not just good people, but fantastic people, caring people, giving people, supportive people. And even outside of my own, you know, community, the friends that I normally would text or call, I've spent a fortune over the past 365 days on stamps, cards, and stationery?
Well, Harold, I think that so a good pastor friend of mine has an acronym. It's HARP, and it stands for humble, anointed, respectable, and prepared. And I think what this, you said something I think that really struck that chord, right, the double entendre of the heart for me when you said you have to slow down, right? God has found a way to humble us, right, to humble us so that he can reanoint us again so that we can be respectable people, right, mm-hmm. so that we can be respectable people so that we are prepared to serve because that's what it's about. We are, there's a song that my mother loved, and, you know, she always, you know, my living is in vain if I have not served, right? And so that acronym and what you just talked about really resonated with me about this whole thing of slowing down, right? Being humbled, right? To then open your eyes to what's right next door to you, right? Versus you running to the very next thing. And so I love the idea of heart because if any Bible scholars out there know that David, even though he was in a world of trouble, played his harp in the Psalms and played his heart out to God. And that's what this double entendre of this acronym really means for me is it's the slowing down. It's the being humble so you can be anointed so that you can be respectable so that you can then be prepared to serve.
And you know,
the things that I just really appreciate.
And, you know, Pastor Vita, I think the other thing in addition to, as I said, you know, I've spent more money on stamps, cards, and stationery and taking the time to sit down and write to someone that I could have easily called. Why? Because I had the time.
Amen.
To do that and to put, you know, pen to paper. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter, even with all the craziness that we had with our postal system, that it didn't matter if the letter took 5 days to get there because where else were they going?
Right.
They had, and when they got it, they had time to sit and read it and to do their own, you know, reflecting on things, you know, that were said. But the other thing that when you talk about this, the reflection is that it gave me an opportunity to listen more carefully to people that I, you know, that I cared about. And I often use a term that I've been using this term for years, listening with your whole self, not just hearing what the person is saying, but feeling what it is that, you know, that they are saying and really kind of understanding that, you know, and we know, particularly over the past 365 days, everybody who says that they were fine were not fine.
Was not.
And and if you, on your day that you were fine and you had an opportunity to come across someone listening with your whole self and realizing that they were not fine, then it gave you an opportunity to be available. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we move through this particular weekend, it being, you know, being available to change and being available to be renewed and hopeful moving forward, I think is a gift that, you know, a lot of us may not have seen, you know, Pastor Vita, over the past, you know, 365 days.
I wholeheartedly concur. What I've learned is that as much as Christ was Redeemer, Savior, Priest, King, he was a friend. He was a servant. And his disciples and those who lived, you know, with him and worked closely with him, he was able to, as best we can tell from the scriptures, be in the moment and to give his attention to whatever the moment brought. Whether it was, you know, a demon-possessed child or a woman's only son dead or, you know, whatever, it was his disciples who had a question, the teachable moment of washing the feet. Whatever the moment brought, Christ was able to see that moment for what it was and to be there. And that is if we're going to spend any time in the spirit with Christ, it is done in moments. It is done with, as you say, listening, hearing, and responding with your whole heart and with your spirit. And what I found myself doing is becoming more aware, like just more aware of people, who they are. I find myself watching the spirit of a person and trying to tap into who they are at that level, and not just tap into it, but to touch it and to identify with it. One of the powerful things that I've seen, because of course I'm an African-American woman, so I have the women suffrage on one side and the African-American people on another. My husband is an African-American male. I have a son. So I have very strong connections to that, those struggles. But the gentleman, I think he's in Ohio or somewhere, when he talked about what it was to be an Asian-American who faced racism, and he showed his military scars, training, whatever it was. And he said, you know, we have suffered in this country as long as we've been here as well. And I was able to see, you know, I think of the people who are my staff, the people that serve me in, you know, different business establishments, from the post office to the nail salon or whatever. And they looked like he looked, right? And I might have missed a part of their suffering as well. So that's what the cross means to me. It is more of becoming more like Christ in my everyday life and looking at his example, not just as teacher, priest, savior, redeemer, but the kind of friend he was and who drew people with that love. So,
Dr. Nelson, you mentioned, and congratulations on being accepted as a full professor at Southern, one of the great HBCUs and educational institutions in this country.
Harold, they'll kill me if I say full. No, I got a full-time job. Assistant professor. They'll kill me
tell them to call me. But even in the capacity that you serve, do you feel, particularly here we are a year later, a greater responsibility to make sure that you don't miss any teachable moments? Because I would imagine, I'm guessing you're not in the classroom, you're not in front of the whiteboard, you're lecturing.
Well, the HBCU experience is quite different, right? I'm in Louisiana, and I'm in a state that's fairly rural. So we are in a hybrid model where I am seeing students, right? And the need for them to see me is huge, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I'm not on campus, right? Like it literally alters their lives. And so what I've learned, right? What I really reflected on in this time space is, how do I most effectively use my pulpit, right? Mm-hmm. The lecture in front of that classroom is my pulpit, right? It's the place that I get to show God's love. Right. And it doesn't have to be a biblical topic for me to be able to do that. And so it is the reason that I asked God to send me back to the South and to send me to an HBCU, so that I could give of myself in a different way, so that I could serve students, so that as an only HBCU student, right? I'm a daughter of Howard. That's where I got my PhD. I went to Stillman College in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Look at you.
I went to the University of the District of Columbia. I went to UDC. So I've been in different type of HBCU.
So you're black, black.
I'm blackity black, right? I'm blackity black. It don't get no blacker than me. I'm from Oakland, California, the land of Black Panthers, and I've only been educated at historically black colleges and universities, and now I'm teaching at one. So for me, it's really about these set of students. They're very different than I was, even though I'm not as far away from an age as them as other professors. They're very different. And so it's really putting yourself in a posture not to chastise them, to hear them, to serve them, to meet them where they are, to love them, right? I get constant reminders every day, Sharice, you need to love them. You need to love them. You're too hard. You got to love them more. And love oftentimes extends beyond just the grade in the class. It extends to the idea of helping them to develop to be the best person that they could be and to give them all the things that my HBCU experience gave me. And the last thing I'll say is, I don't know if y'all, how many of y'all watched A Different World, but one of my favorite episodes when Whitley explains why it's important to be in an HBCU, because no one teaches you how to love you like you, right? And that's something I think about when I think about the cross, is that when I look at Jesus and I look at all of the suffering and what he was willing to do on my behalf, right? If everybody else was good, he was still going to come just for me. And that's the type of attitude I try to bring into my classroom, that I'm going to go the extra mile just for the one in the classroom, because I'll never know what that impact means for their lives.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. No matter what happened today, it is still a Good Friday. Pastor Vita McCoy, Dr. Sharice Nelson, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it. Be safe and
thank
have
you.
A wonderful Easter
Good
weekend.
As always, yes. Appreciative of the opportunity. My pleasure to meet you, Dr. Nelson.
Nice meeting you too, thanks again, Harold.
All right, thank you so much.
All right.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 2nd. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.